Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio. Yes, brand new episode right after E3. We're here and we have a couple of things to talk about. And I think we're going to start the show with this first. So we've been talking about this behind the scenes for a while. And I think P should go for it, man. And we'll go from there, man. Yeah.
All right. 1 second.
Ooh.
Okay. So I have been part of this amazing episode, this amazing broadcast, this amazing thing with Danny and Paris and everybody before me. But things are coming, and with those things are changes. And with those changes, I will be stepping down from Gamertag Radio. I got an amazing opportunity that benefits my family, and as we've always said here, family is more important than anything else. And with that, I am stepping down from Gamertag Radio effective, like, I guess in an hour and a half when we're done with the show. I do it with heavy heart, but with happiness as well. Don't be sad. These are tears of happiness. Love you guys. And now I'm going to go cry.
I'll say this. I'll jump in. First and foremost, like everyone said, this isn't a sad thing. We've known this has been coming for a few weeks. Is it a bummer? Of course. I mean, the three of us, I mean, we've literally become brothers over the years. I mean, there's not a lot of words to put it in perspective other than, you know, we all love each other. We're all going to look out for each other. And I'm going to say, I know Pete is saying he is stepping down and moving away and all that, but no, you're not. You're taking an opportunity that you would be a fool to pass up, an opportunity that you would be a fool to pass up. And when you come back, the door is going to be opened, because this is not the end. And I refuse to believe that it's the end. That's why I will not shed a tear on this podcast, because it's not a sad time. It's a happy time.
No, for sure.
Life moves on. Things change. And that's fine. You know, you are an integral part to what we've been able to accomplish over the years. And just because you won't be here, you know, every week giving your opinion on a podcast, I'm still going to be leaning on you. I'm still going to be asking you questions and needing assistance with this, that, or whatever. You know, it's not changing. You're just branching out into an amazing opportunity. And that's it. Other than that, I refuse to let this be a sad thing, because it's not. And you know, I love you and your family to death. You know, I'm always there for you. That's not changing. If anything, I now have an excuse to go on vacation. That's how I look at it. And I refuse to look at it any other way. And that's all I have to say on it.
Yeah. E3 was, it was a lot of fun, but man, that last night was tough for me, man.
Yep.
It was really tough.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, that's honestly speaking, that's like, for now, our last E3 together, you know. It's been a great time.
Yeah.
Recording with you guys, you know.
Anyways, so I will be moving overseas, so hopefully I'll be seeing you guys at Gamescom. Anybody that's watching, if you are in the EU, hit me up, Twitter, wherever. I'll be there.
Well, the good thing is no more yak at night. That's about it.
I'm not going to lie. I will not miss the yak at all. So I'm not even going to pretend like, oh, I'm so sad. No, that was ridiculous. I'm so glad your wife is here right now on the stream, because one of the greatest moments we've ever had was the first time the yak appeared at E3. And I got, what the hell is going on? And I literally took a picture and I texted it to her. I go, how do you do this? How can you live with this? I'll never forget it. It's freaking hilarious.
Oh, man. Pete, any memories, man? Any cool moments besides the yak? Besides the yak moment,
this part.
There gotta be something.
So many. I mean, like the first time you sent me overseas, or no, not even first time you sent me to like EA Showcase. That's that will always be the like the most amazing. But like the ones to London and to Paris with Paris. Those would be top notch forever.
With Paris and not me.
Shut up. You and I are going to London next week, so whatever. We'll be just fine.
But you'll always have Paris.
Yes, I'll always have Paris in Paris.
Hey, I will not lie. That week we were in Paris, I mean, that's a week I'm never going to forget. I mean, even the week we're in London, but just so much so. Paris specifically, because I felt like we were on this little mini adventure, and Mandy was there, and we went and saw the catacombs, we went to the Eiffel Tower, we went, you know, everywhere.
We walked up the Eiffel Tower.
936 steps. 936. I will never forget that. Yes, we did it. So that's what I mean, man.
Steps. That's insane.
That's
wild.
Dude, it's not the end. If anything, like I said, I now have an excuse to go on a European vacation. So, but hey.
Yep.
Yeah.
It'll be good. And see, here's what I say. And I'm just interjecting my own. This is how I process sadness. I try to think of things logically. When you get settled and everything's good and you get into your workflow and everything's good, I guarantee you something big is going to go down in gaming. And guess who's going to come on this very same podcast and talk about it? It's going to be you. I already know it. Time difference. We figure all that out. That's just logistics. Yeah. We'll figure all that out. So you're stepping away, but you'll be back. You'll be back. I already know it.
Change is good, man.
Yep. It is.
You know, all of us in life, like we need that, man. You know, so it's just going to be kind of hard, man, you know, for me, but got to move on, man. Got to move on. And thank you for everything, Pete.
You know,
thank you. Guys.
I even still remember the very first time we met face to face. It was in Las Vegas at CES 2008. And we hung out in New York, after the event and just had drinks. You know, I mean, obviously the infamous In and Out thing with Major Nelson exclusive and all that, you know, that's how far we go back. And why, just because you're on the other side of the world, does anything change other than we just won't talk to each other every day like we do now? But, you know, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. It's
Pete, you remember the thing that we were talking about at E3? But like how we pulled off like a lot of the parties locally in Miami with GTR, like we didn't even know how the hell we did that. But
hopefully none of my past employers are on this, are listening right now or watching. But yeah, I don't know. That was insane how we pulled off.
Man.
Not just the Miami Mafia 2 show, but the one in New York City without ever having stepped foot in any facilities or anything. For that Mafia 2 New York event. That was insane. And I apologize to my past employer for not working for 4 weeks just to make sure that we pulled that off, even though I was in the office.
Yeah. Insane, man. But yeah, let's move on and make sure to hit
not just
up.
A minute. Mandy just mentioned it in the chat. Me in a wheelchair, her pushing me
at E3
up and down along with our good friends. You know, who worked as a PA. But yeah, Mandy pushing me to the Ubisoft press conference and spilling out onto the sidewalk after we hit a root. Yeah. That was crazy. But yeah, shout out to Vicodin for helping me not remember much of that.
Yeah, man. Nah, but it's good. It's good, man. I had a great time, man. You know, hanging well out with you in Paris during E3. And we had like our, you know, every year when we go to E3, we always do like we first celebrate drinking and eating, and then we end the same thing, drinking and eating at the end, man. So yep. Like the last night, and we did that, and we hugged each other. You know, we said to each other, we love you, and like, yo, ready to do big things, man, in the future, man. You know, and but for now, Paris, that's it. It's you and me, man. Definitely going to be.
Yep.
See?
And the dog, and your dog.
And Duke.
And Duke.
You're stuck with him by yourself. You no longer have someone to help back you up, Paris. You're going to have to deal with Danny's interruptions all by yourself now.
Yeah, and Forskew, and Let Me Dream, and all that good stuff. So be ready for that, Paris. All right, so let's move on, man. Make sure to hit up Pete online. Follow him, Pete Rock, Twitter. Just look up Pete Rock, social media. So, Paris, let's talk about this Cyberpunk 2077 controversy, man, that been going around now for a couple of days.
Let's back up, actually, on a more positive note, because so obviously I'm sure people have seen on social media and all that the video that came out again with CD Projekt Red after I got to see Cyberpunk 2077, the demo at E3. Matter of fact, shout out to Young Ye because he even just used the video again today and the video he's talking about, which we'll get into in a second. But on a positive note, remember, there was this crazy thing where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. At one point, I was like, yo, it's under 50%. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it out there. But I purposely booked the last appointment on Thursday because that was like, if I can make it anyway, it's going to be that one. That's the one I know I could figure it out somehow. So sure enough, it was looking grim at the beginning of the week, and I had even had completely written it off. And then midweek, some things at work changed. I was like, oh, my God. I'm going to be able to get out of work early on Thursday. I'm even going to get time on the show floor. This is going to be great. I kind of was letting people know. Everyone's getting all excited or whatever. Yo, I'm driving home Wednesday. I work in San Diego, so I kind of have a little bit of commute to where I live. And I actually get to Temecula, and I'm on one of the main streets. Yo, the freaking alternator in my car. And that wasn't I thought it was the alternator, but it turns out the fuel pump in my car was on the fritz. So Mike, I just literally broke down, and I swear to you, my first thought was, I'm not going to be able to make the E3 tomorrow. What am I going to do? That was my first thought. That's all I cared about. Right. I was like, screw this car. I'll buy another one. I didn't even care about the car. But then sure enough, I got towed. I'm thinking, man, oh, I'm not going to make it or whatever. And my wife is like, look, cause she knew how important it was. Cause she obviously knew what was going on with Pete and everything. She was like, it's going to be your last opportunity potentially to see him face to face for a while. Just take my car. Then my wife took my daughter's car, and basically my daughter was mad at me, but whatever. Took my wife's, drove the SUV up to LA, made it the whole thing. But man, what a magical day that was, just getting able to walk the show floor a little bit, see E3, see some old faces, new ones, the whole thing. Obviously the Cyberpunk thing happened, and yeah, just the craziness out of that. I say all this to then bring it to a slightly negative thing. So let's just call them out. Rock, paper, scissors. They've been around for a long time. They're out of the UK. They basically wrote an article trying to basically say that Cyberpunk 2077 didn't represent people of color, basically black people, because you had the Voodoo Boys who were Haitian, and then you had the Animals, and basically trying to say that the name Animals was a negative slight towards black people. And there was even a thing in the article where basically the white savior, I'm not trying to spoil the demo too much, but basically the white savior said that the Voodoo Boys were going to betray you because they were black, and then not because they were black, but basically the white guy was saying that the black people were going to betray you, and then the black people did betray you. And they tried to blow this up into just complete nonsense, right? Well, guess what? Mike Pondsmith, AKA the person that created Cyberpunk, AKA an African-American, went on Reddit and in other places, and was basically like, what the hell are you talking about? I created this world. here's why I named the animals the way I did. Here's why the voodoo boys are named. And by the way, all the animals aren't black, by the way, which is another silly thing about the article. He explained why he named what he did at the time, why he did it, and basically was like, hey, you can't tell me how to feel about something. And be quite honestly, me as an African-American, you can't tell me what I'm supposed to be outraged about. And, you know, I bring up Young Ye because we actually saw Young Ye at E3 after the show and had a brief conversation with a really cool guy. He actually then put out a video today because I had tweeted last night about how asinine that article was and how ridiculous it is, because the founder of Rock, Paper, Scissors basically tried to say something about imaginary and all this. You'd have to go on Twitter to see the whole thing. But I basically was just like, your article's asinine. I go, Mike Pondsmith isn't imaginary. He's African-American. He's the one that created the characters in the world of cyberpunk. So how are you going to tell him or me, an African-American, what the hell I'm supposed to be outraged about? I thought the whole thing was ridiculous. And then sure enough, people have just, I went in the twit thread about the whole thing. People are jumping all over him. Like I said, Young Ye actually put a video out, quoted my tweet today, played the video, basically showing, hey, here's an African-American who a year ago was super excited about the game. And then the very next year, here's the entire away team for CD Projekt Red freaking super excited to see me and applauding the whole thing. And that was in that video. So it's like, how dumb are you to try and put out this clickbait article? Because that's exactly what it was. And I'm going to rant for a second, Pete, so you get to hear my last rant before you get out of here. I'm so freaking tired of these white knights trying to tell my black ass how to feel about things. Woo! I really am. Because it's the truth. When you get to walk a day in my shoes, I'm 45. I am from the South. I deal with racism on some level every freaking day of my life. So then here's something that another African-American created with a company that obviously has never shown any type of racism or any of that kind of stuff. And they're depicting this near future world where gender does it, because, oh, my God, let's talk about the transgender thing where people freaked out over the poster because you basically had a transgender character in the poster and you could, I guess you could see his penis, right? You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm saying this. I thought the transgender person in the poster was freaking hot. So what? Got a penis. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And that's what, again, comes to this whole point of why does everything have to be a flipping outrage? Why everything have to be an outrage? Can I please just enjoy the goddamn video game? Please. That's all I want to do. Not everything has to be racist. Not everything has to be an outrage. You don't have to spin something to create controversy so you can get a couple extra thousand clicks on your freaking shitty website. It's like, I'm so tired of this stuff. It's annoying. Why can't we all just be people who just enjoy things? Why can't we stop looking at color? Stop looking for the worst in people. Why can't we just enjoy life for what the frick it is? That's my whole thing about it. And it annoys me so much because obviously you see how much I love this game. Obviously you see the excitement that I've had over it. And it's like, I just want to have this love affair with this game until April 20th, 2020, when it comes out, and just enjoy it. Instead, we got to dwell on this negative nonsense that comes out because you got some freaking UK website that decides, I'm going to be the defender of the people of color. And they said animals in it and voodoo boys. How dare they? And Young Ye actually pointed this out in his video. If you go back to the video a year ago, guess who the bad guy was? And that was a freaking white person. The freaking federal agent betrayed V, right? Everyone you were shooting in that video, guess what? They were white, but there was no outrage then. So why is there outrage now? The whole thing's freaking stupid. I can't stand it. And I'm tired of that. We got to sit on the sidelines and not say anything because God forbid if we speak up for ourselves and actually defend the fact that, you know, hey, people of color, we like video games too. We like playing them too. We like make content on them too. We like to enjoy these things too. I do believe I'm intelligent enough to understand what is racist and what is not, and what is just simply art. You know, just because someone's dark and someone's light doesn't mean instantly if the light person kills the dark person or the dark person kills the light person, the other person's racist. I'm so tired of it. I just am. Mm-hmm. So I truly hope, and I mean this too, I truly hope Rock, Paper, Scissors catches all the in the world over this. I really do. just my dog agrees too. Yes, he's mad too.
He agrees.
You know what I'm saying? Because
Duke is ready.
It's ridiculous that you in 2019 we still got to do this nonsense where everything has to be a controversy. Just enjoy the damn game. That's it. Ran over. Yep. I'm done.
Shout out to Andrew from the show Radio. They also played, I think, his video too. His video went viral during E3. He got excited. He came out from the Cyberpunk 2077 presentation, and there's a part where you hear Haitians talking in Creole, and he flipped out. He was like, "Oh my god, this is so cool, man! My people's in the game." I was like,
"No,
yeah,
the fact
cool.
that really, really. He was so happy that he didn't need the translation because they did it correctly. They did it properly." Yeah. And he was like, yeah. "I didn't need the translation." And to see Pavel's response right next to him, like, "Yes, I'm glad to hear that we got that." Yo.
Yep.
That was on point. Really cool. And I've got tears again just because of Paris's little like 8-minute rant right there, because that made me happy. Like that was
that's why it upsets me, because you don't want to know that moment. At coming out of that demo of Cyberpunk and all of CD Projekt Red, this is literally the greatest E3 moment, video game moment I've ever had, ever. Nothing's going to top that. Because it was so genuine. And I know it was genuine because before the demo, literally, I put it on Front Street a little bit. Literally, I was talking with Miles ahead of time. And we had an amazing, I think, Danny, you were there too. I don't remember if you were there with me when I was talking to Miles. But we were having an amazing conversation. Just talking about the game and life. And he's just telling me how much they loved my enthusiasm from a year ago, because it just spread throughout the studio. Like, here's this positive thing. Look how happy he is about the thing that we're making. And that's how the hell it should be. And I'm not just saying this because it's me. It could have been Pete. It could have been Andrew. It could have been anybody. But we should just love gaming, right? That's the whole point of this. Is to play a game and enjoy that moment, to have that special feeling, right? And I felt that a year ago. I felt it last week, you know? And then I'm going to probably feel it in April. And it's not just Cyberpunk. There's other amazing games and things out there that we should be enjoying and celebrating instead of always looking for the negative thing in everything. That's what kills me. And that's why it was like, wow, here's this amazing game from a studio who's, like, they genuinely just love making great games. Like Miles was explaining to me why he works at CD Projekt Red, and I 100% believed him. He just loves making video games and seeing the joy that he can bring to our faces. 100% believed him when he said that. And that's what it should be about. We should be talking about that, not talking about some freaking idiot UK site that wants to drum up controversy over nothing. Because that's exactly what it is nothing. There's nothing racist at all about it. It's like, if you have half a brain, you can watch. If you watch the demo, you'll know there's nothing. So whatever. The whole thing just annoys me. I need to stop talking about it, obviously. But yeah, man, I just last week was one of my happiest moments in gaming. Nah, and it always will be.
Don't be mad. Don't be upset. Don't feel like you have to stop. Talk your shit. For real. Talk that, Paris. Like, for real, dude.
Yeah. You know what, Paris? Like, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, while Paris was talking with Miles, I was like, man, I think it's time for me to make some moves, man, because I've been playing this for a while. I mentioned it to Pio, like, yo, I'm going to get the whole CD Projekt Red, man, to surprise Paris. I know he is super excited about this game, man. And when I gave him the idea, like, hey, let's wait for Paris outside. Let's scream, clap. Yo, everybody was like, oh, everybody was down. Everybody was down. So when I got to see that moment, not only for Paris, but they even decided to do it for everybody.
Yeah.
Coming out.
Mm-hmm. Everybody for the 3.5 like, minutes before Paris and for like 10 minutes after Paris.
After. Yep.
That was knowing that like we had, like you had done all of the prep work and talked to all the people at CDPR and the PR folks outside to try to set that up just for Paris. And then to see them have that same enthusiasm for everybody before him and after him equally shows
that was awesome.
So much. Oh my God. It was, I remember us sitting downstairs, like like I think it was like me, you, and Paris and Esme and a couple of other folks. We were all chilling, hanging out and talking to folks and still hearing the chants upstairs as people were exiting that presentation mm-hmm. room. That, yeah. if anything, was like one of the top moments of E3 to hear that it wasn't just for Paris. It was for everybody.
Everybody.
That's a fan. Everybody walking yeah. out of that presentation room.
It was cool. It was really, really cool. Okay. Another thing too. Pete got to check out the new Call of Duty game. I didn't because I had no time at all. Paris was also busy throughout the week, and he was the only person from the crew that got to check out the new Call of Duty game, man. So, Pete, let us know how's the game? Is there anything new? How's the vibe? Is it dark? Is it the same? Please let me know because I have no idea.
So I'm just gonna be straight up. I don't want to try it. I don't want this to sound in any way, shape, or form to be fanboyish. I know I was the Call of Duty fanboy up until a couple of years ago, but. Hey, that trailer and that gameplay session, shout out to the folks at PR, Activision and PR for giving me the opportunity to check out their presentation.
Yeah.
Hey, if you loved Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2 and you had and you felt some kind of way about Soap and Price and everybody else on those teams. Hey, it's back. The goat is back. Get the goat sounds ready and everything. Ah, it's ready. It's back, dude. Call of Duty is back. If what we saw in that presentation is, stays exactly the way it did. And we have those same, game mechanics, the tactics, close quarter combat, the ability to coordinate and communicate with your fellow Call of Duty. Clanmates. Hey, and all I saw was all we saw was just single player campaign. Mm-hmm. Yo, I mean, it's enough to get me super hyped for Call of Duty again. World of War and the World War II return, the return to its roots, quote unquote, wasn't much. Like I didn't feel hyped about that. Like I feel about this. This is bringing it back to Modern Warfare. And that is the Call of Duty that I know and love. And yes, if your C-130 drops a package, I am taking it, whether you're Mandy or not.
Okay. That's it. All right. Overall, you guys, your thoughts about like E3. I know we were there for a couple of days. I'll tell you this, man. It felt very weird not having PlayStation there. It was very, very weird. Usually, when we go to what's the hall? The one that Nintendo was at? Okay, that's West Hall, right?
West Hall.
That hall was pretty boring. Not gonna lie, it was very, very boring. The only thing that was hot around that area was just Nintendo. That's it.
I'd say Nintendo. Oculus had some reason to be hot. That podcast Oculus. Booth. That podcast booth. Though, so, I mean,
the podcast booth. Yeah, the podcast booth is not. I'm talking about gaming wise.
Like in general, though, I mean, yeah, it was lackluster. And hey, that's what happens when Microsoft and Sony are no longer in that hall. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I mean, let's just be real here.
Well,
that's what happens.
I think the past 2 years, Microsoft, they moved to the South Hall,
but they still had a presence.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. But you know what? A lot of people, I was talking to a lot of my friends from the industry, and they were like, "Look, I get it. Right now, probably is kind of dead, But he said that most likely next year, because of the new consoles, we might see a lot more people. It's going to be different, And I was like, I hope so, man, because, I think PlayStation definitely got to be part of E3 some way, somehow, like either close or in the convention or something. It felt very weird not having them there, man.
Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, because I didn't get on the show floor until the last day around about 1 p.m. Shout out to Dan because we were walking the show floor and then I met up with you guys later. Yeah, dude. I mean, South Hall still felt like E3. You know, Ubisoft's there, Bethesda, WB, you know, on down the line. So that still was very E2K was over there. That was very E3. You know what I mean? Like, okay, this is the E3 I know. Yo, when we went over to West Hall to find you guys over in Nintendo, I go, what the hell am I? I'm at a flea market? What's going on here? Because it was weird. You know what I mean? It was like you said, it wasn't E3. It was very barren. And I was like, this is it. Yeah. I go, it's basically Nintendo. And I think GameSpot had a booth over there. And then what was the rest of it? Fortnite or something? And then, you know, some random, I don't know, maybe. See, this is where PlayStation leaving really, you could really feel it. You know what I mean? Because that's where PlayStation would have been, and they're gone. Microsoft obviously was across the street, so they're not in there. EA's been gone for years. So this was really the first time with PlayStation not being there. I'm like, I hope they come back. I personally don't think they will. And I'm on record saying that. I don't think they will, but, you know, obviously E3 will be there again next year. They've already said that. But it's going to be weird without PlayStation in that not being in that West Hall. And we already know Microsoft will just continue to stay across the street. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see moving forward. But hopefully, like you said, new hardware, obviously next gen games being displayed. Maybe that can put some more life into it. And I'll just say overall for me, since I'm talking, you know, I've obviously been very critical of E3, and I've been predicting its doom and gloom and all that. But I will say this year was a reminder to me that I hope it doesn't go away. I truly hope it does not go away, in the sense of, you know, we meet so many amazing people at these events, and, you know, people know us, we know them, you talk and you make all these connections. And I don't want that to ever go away. Selfishly, I'm speaking very on a personal selfish level right now. I don't want that to go away. The gaming industry, quite honestly, will be perfectly fine without E3. If it were to disappear tomorrow, it will continue to move on, and we'll still get our PlayStation announcements and Xbox announcements and on down the line. But that personal connection of that convention center, because it was funny, Monday night, because I didn't think I was going to come back at that point, I shot a video with Uriah Andrew out in front of West Hall. And I remember when we were shooting a video, I was just staring at West Hall, and I go, wow, could this really be it? Could this be the last time? And I felt kind of bummed out about that, because, yo, you know, Danny and Pete, we got so many memories. Just, I mean, we're talking decade plus memories, you know, at this event, you know, in June. And, you know, like, obviously I was pulling old pictures from like E3 2005 and the Santa Monica E3 and, you know, 2006, just on down the line. And it's like, I'm going through these old pictures. Look, I was a lot thicker back then, but going through those pictures and just all the memories coming back, like, wow, look at all the things that we've seen and we've done. So amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Not only that, you know, seeing the Lakers, NBA Finals,
yep,
the LA Kings.
The Kings.
You know, dude, it was, and E3 all at the same time.
Yep.
It was insane. Insane. But at the same time, it was like, it was one of those like memories that I'll never forget. It was just like, it was very chaotic, but at the same time, we went through it, and it was just fun overall, you know? What I felt bad was just Paris finding parking almost daily. Or no, the best one, one of my favorite memories was free parking thanks to THQ, Saints Row. Remember that, Paris? For the whole week, free parking?
Yeah. Okay. Because you better believe I took advantage of it. Absolutely.
And you got a car wash out of it too, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Insane. Yeah. Was there anything that either surprised you or heard a buzz or maybe a disappointment during E3 this year? Anything, any games?
For me, it was Watch Dogs, getting hands-on with it, actually playing it. I was like, I was already anticipating it, but I'm really anticipating it now. I think if they're able to pull this off on the scale that they're promoting it as, and, you know, the limited demo of what I did get to play, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of different ways to tackle situations, and just, yeah, definitely. Probably for me, because I don't count past spring 2020, because we know we're going to get a bunch of next gen announcements. But of the games we know about, number two on my list behind Cyberpunk now, for sure.
Wow.
I'll give you a disappointment. And this could be because of limited play time. And obviously we had the weird thing when we went to the showcase to play it. Ghost Recon didn't have a lot of fun with it when we played.
You're not the only one to say that.
Yeah.
Well, just, I said that on the last recap with Danny, and Danny was like confused that I actually said that. That Ghost Recon Breakpoint was a disappointment. And that's mostly because I didn't see a lot of change. Like, I was hoping for more, and maybe that's expectation versus reality creeping in. But for me, I didn't I didn't see enough to warrant an oh snap. Like, yo, they really made forward progress with the Ghost Recon. It felt like Wildlands 1.3.
Yeah, but to be fair, because that's why I'm trying to be objective about this. We thought, excuse me, Ubisoft is like, shut up. We thought we were going to get 2 hours hands-on with it. So mentally, that's what I went in. I'm like, okay, I'm going to settle in, understand the controls, get a real feel for the mission structure, all that. And we literally got the rug pulled from under us and played for like 20 minutes. So it was kind of a, it? I don't feel like I got enough time. You know, it was weird.
One mission, right? That's all that we completed.
Yeah. And we thought we had 2 hours, and we're not the only ones that happened to. There was obviously some confusion with that, obviously. But, you know, I'm still hopeful. It's just it didn't leave a good first impression on me. And that's where the disappointment comes in, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
You know, I'm disappointed that I didn't get check out the Final Fantasy VII remake. I know P had an appointment, but he went to see the Avengers, and then from there he bounced to the next appointment. So it's like we just didn't have time.
Yeah.
You know? But I've been hearing a lot of negative feedback about this Avenger game from them. Everybody's telling me this wasn't all that.
So, I mean, you and I had a great discussion about that at E3, and we recorded that as one of the episodes while we were there. Yes. But I think it's expectation versus, again, reality with so much history of the MCU, seeing the voice, you know, and this is not a slight or shade or anything to the voice actors for that 2K, or I'm sorry, that Square Enix got towards, you know, on the Marvel Avengers game, you know, because they've got like Nolan North and a whole bunch of other, you know, masters of their craft. But the gameplay was not what I expected from a Marvel Avengers game, right? And again, they've got a year to go before it actually comes out to production. And you and I both felt the same that, you know, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 that we saw at the Nintendo booth felt more polished, more complete as an overall title. Does it mean that Square Enix doesn't have a chance to right their wrongs? They have a year to go, and hopefully, again, if you're a button masher / action fan, I think Marvel Avengers from Square Enix has an audience. There is a chance. Like, I thought it was cool seeing the Hulk do the same things that we saw in Avengers with Loki, where he was smashing, you know, Loki on the ground and then using his thunderclap to smash character, you know, smash NPCs in his hands. That move in and of itself got me hyped. There was other people's, you know, there was like a celebrity or two in our session, and I jumped up and I was like, hey, that is something that I would like to do. But that shouldn't be the highlight of your presentation. That being said, I'd like to see other characters be brought in, which is one of the things that Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 really does well. It gives you the opportunity to switch throughout, you know, specific, you know, jump points where you can go in and say, you know, I want to try playing with Thanos, or not Thanos. I want to try playing with, you know, this character. I want to play with, you know, Miles Morales, or I want to play with Venom, or I want to play with this. If those are the only four characters you're able to play with in Marvel Avengers, I think it's going to be a problem. Hopefully they let you play with other characters. That being said, they've got a year. They've got a year to come correct, and hopefully they use that time wisely.
Yep. I really enjoyed playing Luigi Mansion 3. I know you guys were there just
watching it was good.
Yeah, just watching it.
That was really good, right?
It was cool. It was like watching Ghostbusters with Luigi.
Yep. Yeah, and I just love the new moves in there. It was a lot of fun, man. I wish that we should have like checked out the. It looks like a haunted house that they had, but like themed of Luigi Mansion at the Nintendo booth. That looked really cool from the outside. But dude, like sometimes when we have appointments, like E3 appointments especially, like we have no time. Like we're always like moving around and doing stuff. But yeah, like I said, I truly enjoyed playing that game so much, man. I put it one of my top fives of like games that I can't wait to play once it releases, man. So anything else, guys?
Yes. I have something else because this isn't gaming related, but it happened at E3. And again, with my limited time, I was so thankful that it happened while I was there so I could participate. So shout out to our good friend Andy Escoblades over at Ubisoft because he helped put this together. He did a mixer sponsored by Ubisoft Monday night before E3. And I always screwed the name up. So let's just say it was for black content creators. I always screw up the exact name of it, but it was kind of a thing for black content creators, people of color, right? Where we got together at the same place where they did the Ubisoft showcase where we were at earlier in the day. And it had absolutely nothing to do with gaming. There was no sales pitch, none of that. It was literally to get people of color together that was at E3 all in one place so we could network with each other, so we could talk with each other, hang out, and just simply have a good time. And we need more of that because from my standpoint, I had so many people that night come up to me, that knew Gamertag Radio, that knew you, Danny, that knew Pete, and loved our content. And I don't do well with the compliment stuff, so I always feel awkward. Oh, thanks, all right, but that was real cool. And then I'm meeting people that I admired, like I've talked about before. I had a nice long conversation with N'Guy Kroll as an example, and it was an awesome event, and it was something I personally feel sorely needed. I know Xbox does something similar at GDC, and I know they did something like that at PAX West. I don't know if it's an annual thing, but I was very happy to see Ubisoft step up and do this at E3, and I hope it becomes an annual thing at E3, and maybe it spreads to Comic-Con. Maybe they do something at PAX or whatever the case may be, and I'm sorry to be on my pulpit today, but obviously the Cyberpunk thing just annoys me so much. That's why I feel like ranting about this, but you know, we need more diversity in this industry. There are more people that look like me that are out there that don't get the spotlight put on them, that put out amazing content and they're only getting 100 views or whatever the case may be because they're not being exposed to the masses, right? We need more of that. We need to put them in a position so they get the spotlight put on them so that their content can shine. We need to put more dark faces in these marketing campaigns and commercials. Cause like I said before, my kids play video games too. Okay. And it's not just these white faces that play them. There's Asian faces. It's across the board is my point. And I'm tired of the way that the machine is working right now in 2019. I want it to change as we start going into 2020. I know Phil Spencer has been very vocal about this with Xbox trying to step up and do things. Obviously, we see that Ubisoft is doing something like that. I know EA, literally during EA Play with the Game Changer, they had an entire summit about diversity. So the discussions are starting to be had, but we need more of them. And like I said, this mixer was great because it wasn't a sales pitch. It wasn't a marketing thing. It wasn't a stunt. It was just simply, it was like, you know what? There's a lot of people of color that attend E3, that cover E3. Let's get everybody together so we all get to know each other a little bit better. And that was a great part of it. And like I said, I hope more of this happens again. So shout out to Andy and everyone else that was involved at Ubisoft that put it together because it was a good thing and it was sorely needed.
You know, I also have to give a shout out to Microsoft because there's some stuff that a lot of people are not talking about. But during the press conference, and I think you remember, guys, they had people at the press conference, at the briefing, doing sign language like for during the briefing. I think it was on the stream, too. I'm not sure because I wasn't watching the stream. Also, when we went to the Xbox showcase, I think we went there Monday, they had the adaptive controller everywhere for people to play. So Rory was with us, our friend yes. Rory. She was hanging out with us the whole time. Shout out to her. Super nice. She wanted to play with us, so we got together and started playing Gears of War, the new mode called Escape. And she sat down. I thought originally she was going to use the adaptive controller, but she decided to use just a regular controller. And yo, we all played together. It was a lot of fun, but it was cool to see that Microsoft made that change. Like, no, we're going to have that controller everywhere just in case, you know, other people want to play too, like the games and stuff. So that was really cool to see that, man. I truly, truly enjoyed that. That was really cool. Just want to give a shout out to Microsoft for making that move. Anything else? Anything else? That's it. We're good.
I think that's it. Let's Pete. Yep. Pete, do you have any final words for us?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. I think I finally got my emotions under control. Yeah. You know, shout out to everybody. You know, past, present, and future that's been a part of this amazing journey. I just thank you. That's basically it, right? And just Danny Parrish, just keep being you guys. You know what I mean? Just keep being 100% honest. That's all I really got to say.
Yeah.
Just keep doing what you're doing. Paris, no, what you've done for GTR the past year, especially stepping up with, you know, hey, just take it, right? Just accept it. Just especially what you did today with, you know, just keep doing it. And Danny, you know, I love you. I love you too, bro. You guys are like brothers.
I love you too, man.
No, we're family. We're family. That's, again, that's never going to change no matter where life takes us. Like I said, you know, I'm always there. I'm literally a phone call, tweet, text, whatever the hell you do these days away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Carrier yeah, pigeon.
I love you guys, man. Yeah. Thank you for everything, man.
Yep.
No. Like Paris said, this is not a complete goodbye. You know, I will do what I can to, you know, make an occasional yak appearance. And yeah, that's basically it, man. You know, just it's not a total goodbye. You and I, you know, the three of us will still be on our regular chats daily.
Oh yeah, that's sure. It's not going to change
for sure.
So.
And well, look, least, we yeah. know through a mutual friend who we have a group text with who has been on that side of the world, conversations didn't stop. So why would they stop now? You know what I mean?
No. Well, it's officially now is the bald podcast. Shout out to Dan for mentioning that because, you know, the only person with hair is Pete.
Speak for yourself. We're sponsored by Keeps. I'm growing an afro. What would you talk about? It'd be Anthony Davis up in there.
It's all good, man. No longer.
change is good, man. You know, we went through this a lot when Mandy had to leave, and you know, a lot of other people that were part of GTR, man. You know, it's hard at first, but gotta move on and just continue working, man. So, you know, Paris, I'll be around. Daily conversations continues, I guess, right? And all these other stuff and my Let Me Dream stuff. So. Yeah.
How much longer are you going to try to draw out this foreskew?
No, thank you. I'm glad you brought that up because you notice Danny conveniently didn't respond to my tweet. Phil Spencer quoted from E3 saying they're only going to focus on one console for Scarlett. That's it. So there's no four console, nothing.
Yo, I tell you this. I watched that interview with Giant Bomb and they asked him straight up about the second SKU. And of course, Phil Spencer is gonna like do the whole PR answer, but hey, it's all good. It look, most of the time when this is a rumor, don't think it's fake, Paris. you know there were plans to do a second SKU. They probably decided last minute not to do it.
Yeah, but yeah, because common sense came in and they're going, wait, what the hell are we doing? We got this Xbox One X. Why are we introducing another console into the mix to confuse people? So
look, man, it's part of the conversation. Let me live. Let me
know. I'm not letting you live that one down because I said it from the get. This is not happening. It's not going to happen. Look, logically, let's be real.
You know this, Paris. He won't admit he's wrong. He'll just tell you you're right.
Exactly.
No. Hey, look. There's still hope. There's other events. There's Gamescom. There's other stuff happening. There's hope. You know, from now to launch, if there's no second SKU, then that's it.
By the way, I'm literally going to just step out onto the street right now. I want to go to Gamescom this year, not next year. I want to go this year. I'm going next year, but I want to go this year, right?
Yeah.
Yo, I looked up prices for hotel, like I literally looked Airbnb, everything, along with the flight. Good googly. I can't afford. I will get divorced trying to go over there in August. If anybody wants to hook a brother up and fly me to Germany and let me live at your house for a couple days, I'm down. I'll learn to speak German too. Whatever. Let's do it.
Yo, seriously. How much is a flight? Is that expensive?
Yes.
And hotel?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It was going to be for just me to go round trip. Cause look, I'm it was, I think I found the cheapest flight was $1,200. And then for me to try and get lodging for 3 days was basically another $2,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Cause like all the hotels around that area were booked. So I was looking at Airbnbs and stuff. Dude, it's super expensive. Holy crap, man. Yeah.
Guess no Gamescom.
Yeah, and then like one of our good friends in the chat that will not be named is sitting there saying, yeah, about $8,000 by the time you put in food, travel, all of it. Dude, it was ridiculous.
Holy crap. Yeah. Well, at least you have a year now to plan it, right?
Well, shout out to Khalif spawn on me. Perry's gonna have to do some Magic Mike movements.
I'm down. You think I won't? You think I wanna be I'll do it. Like Captain America said, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Showing leg and all.
Yep.
Oh, snap. That is hilarious.
All right
well, guys, head over to Gamertag Radio. What, you were going to say something?
No, you okay. did it. Huh? I was saying we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah. Head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, share the content, search Gamertag Radio anywhere. Any podcast app, you'll find us. Subscribe. That's about it, man. Shout out to Pete. Thank you so much for everything, man. We'll be around, and I'll send you my Let Me Dream content directly to you via text. And that's it, man. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.